We've already been zolcha to establish a framework of ideas about Iker and Tafel. Specifically, yesterday we had a chance to see a series of three Gemaras, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Tes, all of which address Iker and Tafel, and all of which expand the core of Iker and Tafel that already appears in the Mishnayos. Iker and Tafel already appears, as we saw in the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. You have the Maliach together with the bread. We did not get involved as a sidebar. There is some discussion. We've shown him exactly how to translate what the case of the Mishnah is and how the Peres Gnoser fit in. We did not focus on that. But the Mishnah clearly talks about the bread being Tafel to the salty fish or the salty fruit, whatever it is exactly that Maliach. It seemed that had been quoted on Lamed Zayin, on Lamed Vav here, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, that had been quoted in Mem Aleph. There is another Mishnah that perhaps, according to some Rishonim, also talks about Iker and Tafel, and that's the Mishnah about Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Berech al Hapas, Potras HaParperas. If you make Hamotzi, it covers the food you're eating with the bread, which maybe is a type of Iker and Tafel also. Yesterday we had expanded that din of Iker and Tafel using a line of three Gemaras, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, and Lamed Tes. Where we saw that while it's true that the Mishnayos speak about a Tafel She'eino Me'urav, to borrow the language of the Rambam and the Rosh and the Tur, you have two separate items, the Iker and the Tafel, and they're not mixed together, and you don't make a bracha on the bread, for instance, because you're having it in association with the salty fish. You don't make a bracha on the olive because you're having an association with the sharp radish. Those three Gemaras, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Tes, I spoke about the flavored hot cereal and about the wheat pudding, Chavetz Kedera, and we spoke about the vegetable kugel, the Tavshila Delifta. So those Gemaras introduced us, number one, to Tafil Hamu'ura. When Iker and Tafil actually blended together, you have a single dish, a single food that has multiple ingredients. You have a kugel with different with flour and carrots and eggs and oil. You have hot cereal that has a lot of nuts and cocoa and sugar and honey mixed and milk mixed in, whatever it is. And you have to figure out the Tafel Me'urav. So we saw that Tafel Me'urav has a lot of interesting qualities. Number one, Tafel She'eino Me'urav is only, if they're two separate items, the only type of Iker and Tafel will be the high level, you know, where it's a qualitatively one is being mishamish the other. Well, by Tafel HaMe'urav, so it could even be just a quantitative Iker. Hey, different ingredients in the food. You have yogurt, and you mix in nuts, and you mix in seeds, and you mix in Rice Krispies, and have to figure out that may be just sort of a blend of different things. You have to figure out what's the Iker, what's the Tafel. And we saw that when it's merely a question like the fruit salad, I have kiwis and strawberries and there's different fruits and they're all side by side. No one is being mishamish the other. I take it back. The yogurt, it could be, it's really yogurt and everything else just highlighting the yogurt. We have a fruit salad. So they're all just ingredients. So when it's me'urav, you can have that idea of that lower level Iker and Tafel where it's merely quantitative. And because quantitative Iker Tafel is weaker, it doesn't work if one of the ingredients is mizonos. And with that in mind, so number one, now we can go back to our opening sugya of Shem and Zayis and start to understand a little more. We had seen yesterday Machlokas, or 2 days ago, Machlokas Rabbeinu Yosef versus most other Rishonim, when the Gemara says that usually a nigron with oil, that nigron is the Iker, but sometimes there's an exceptional case where the Shem is Iker. What's the exceptional case? The Gemara,
waiting to take medicine
Ah, gewaldic. The Gemara says, Choshish Begrona, very good shot. Choshish Begrona, the guy's throat hurts. So, most Rishonim said that means, literally, when your throat hurts. When you're, as Shai said, when you're taking it for medicinal purposes. Rabbi Yosef, quoted by Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon, quoted by and adopted by the Torah, Rabbi Yosef says, no. It just means, the point is just as the Brisa records, when you have it for medicinal purposes, you tend to put in a lot of oil. So, it doesn't really matter what you actually intend to do. The point is just that you put in a lot of oil. That was the medicinal type of recipe. Doesn't matter whether your throat actually hurts or not. So on the one hand, now we begin to understand where Ben Yosef is coming from, because there is a type of tafel, ikur and tafel, that just has to do with the numbers. There's a little bit of oil, so then the oil is tafel. There's a lot of oil, so then that could, just the quantity does sometimes change things. So we understand the sheet of Rabbeinu Yosef. Now it's not just sort of like one detail floating in a vacuum. There's a larger sugya, Lama Zayin, Lama Tes. The Gemara talks about Iker and Tafel based on the numbers. And on the other hand, we also understand the other sheet, because even when you add more oil, it's not the rove. More oil means instead of it being 2% oil, it's 5% oil. It's 10% oil. But no one's making a negro that's mostly oil. Think about that for a moment. It's clearly not what we're talking about. Not this much oil and this much vegetable broth. Obviously, it's this much vegetable broth. You usually add like a few teaspoons. And if your throat really hurts, you'll add, think about like the way people add honey to tea. Say people like to drink tea and like to add sugar. So you add a little bit of sugar, a little bit of honey. Sometimes you have really sore throat. You might add a lot of honey. Well, supposedly it soothes your throat. But even if you're adding a lot of honey because your throat hurts, it's not mostly honey. That's if you're really going like aggressive on the honey, you'll have a cup of tea and an ounce or two of honey. That's like very aggressive. And that's 8 ounces of tea, an ounce or two of honey. Obviously, honey is still the meat. It's just less, a little bit more than otherwise. So on the one hand, we understand Rabbeinu Yosef is rooted in the fact that generally Iker and Tafel does have a quantitative side to it. At the same time, we understand why the other Rishonim disagree, because what they're saying is it's nice that you have some more oil, but the fact that now it's 10% instead of 3% doesn't on its own cut it. There has, and what the other Rishonim are saying is that there's a qualitative functional piece. If your throat hurts and that's why you're having it, so that's mamish high level ikur and tafel. I really want to have the oil, but to drink oil directly, that's going to be very uncomfortable. So I'm going to mix it into the vegetable soup, so that way it'll be easier to take. Oh, but I really want the oil. So Rabbeinu Yosef is saying it sounds like it's a purely quantitative thing, and the other Rishonim are saying sometimes quantity alone matters, but not over here. Over here, if you want to make the oil the ikker, there really needs to be a qualitative, functional, high level ikker and tafel. You'll remember, by the way, that we had seen when we first started the sugya, the Rashi even quoted a sheet of one of the Gaonim, whom we do not pass like lahalacha, that not only on the other extreme, not only do you have to be that your throat hurts in order for the oil to be the ikker, it has to be the throat hurts and that it is Shabbos today. Meaning, why? So with some more context, global context in the ikker and tafel, we understand. Because if it's Shabbos today, then it's clear you're mamish only having the vegetable part because you're not allowed to have the oil alone. It's Shabbos. It's usher to have the oil alone. So I have no choice but to encase my oil in vegetable soup. He says, there it's clearly a tafel gamur. It's mamish like having the piece of bread because your mouth is on fire from the pepper, from the hot pepper. Okay, so we don't go out to the kach, but now we understand where Rabbi Yosef is coming from. L'idachisa, we don't paskin that way. Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that way. We say it's nice you have some more oil, but that's not enough to make it ikker tafel purely on quantitative grounds. It has to be a qualitative, functional piece. It has to be that the choshesh begrono, so the main point is to soothe your throat. So that's step one. We started with the machlokas here on Lamed Hey Lamed Vav. As we have begun to expand our knowledge of Ikar and Tefillah a little bit, and we have a more sophisticated, beginning to have a more sophisticated understanding that there's Tefillah Me'urav, Tefillah She'eh Me'urav. When you talk about Tefillah Me'urav, it comes in two different levels. There's high level Tefillah where it's a really be mishamish the Ikar, and then there's low level Tefillah where it's just different ingredients and look of the Rov. And with that in mind, and we know Mizonos fits in there, it's enough gamina being high level Tefillah, low level Tefillah, is Mizonos can win against a low level Ikar, but Mizonos can't win against high level Ikar. So with that already gives us an appreciation of what's going on in Machlokas here in Siman Reish Beis. But now we want to turn our attention, we'll take a question, and then we're going to shift our attention to Siman Reish Yud Beis. Yaakov pointed out that that is the number of our room. So in this room, we definitely, in room 212, we definitely have to mind the sugya of Ikar and Tefillah. There are a lot of bad jokes we can make. I'll try to make none of them. A lot of very self-referential meta jokes. I'll try to make none of those. But we will, you won't forget where to find Ikar and Tefillah in Aruch Chaim. You'll remember that the simen of Ikar and Tefillah in Aruch Chaim is 212. Resh, Yud, Beis. Resh, Beis, where we had begun, that's the first, that's the simen of Bar Pir Eitz in general. Which is why Shema Nazayas is there. Discussion, what's a Eitz, what's not a Eitz. Resh, Yud, Beis is the very short and short but packs a big punch. The short simen to only two se'ifim of Ikar and Tefillah. What we're going to do now, we'll take a question, and then what we're going to go forward is to dig deeper in two different ways, and they work together. We're going to start to see halacha l'maisa, and we're also going to see through doing that that we're going to get much deeper into the lumdus of Ikar and Tefillah. And you should bear in mind, methodologically, a methodological meta point here is to realize that those two things are meant to go hand in hand. Understanding the lumdus of the sugya more deeply and knowing how things work lahalacha. Those are not disparate, orthogonal, unrelated parts of learning. You understand the sugya more deeply and then you understand lahalacha maisa. Those go hand in hand. Sometimes you understand the sugya more deeply, then I can figure out what the halacha l'maisa means. Sometimes, as we're going to see here, by looking at the halacha l'maisa, you get an expanded array of rishonim, an expanded array of cases that get you thinking in interesting ways. Question, then we dive into Reish Beis.
So, just looking at what you're saying about if you have like a cup of tea that it normally has a certain amount of, normally you add a certain amount of honey, but like in this other case, you'd be adding more honey. You can't say that it's mostly honey because there still is more liquid that is the tea than there is the honey. But what if you look at it from like a ratio point of view, where there's a set standard ratio of tea to honey, and when you kind of break that ratio and add a little bit more and add more honey to the honey side of the ratio, then would that...
So that's a nice way. That's a nice way, maybe, of capturing what Rabbeinu Yosef is probably thinking. That since the standard ratio, why does he think the Shemen is the Ikar just because there's more, but still only 10%? You say no. Since the standard ratio, the standard recipe is one part oil to, let's make up numbers, 20 parts of soup, and now all of a sudden you're tripling that. You're putting 3 parts oil to 20 parts, 5 parts oil to 20-part soup. So the fact that you're still a miyot, but compared to what usually is, yes, right, you're right. Rabbi Rabbeinu Yosef would say, relative to how you, that is so much higher than the norm, don't just compare the oil to the soup, compare the oil in this case to the oil in other cases. Something like that, yeah. So you have to say something like that. We don't pasten like that. We don't look at quantity in the world of Ikar and Tefillah that way. But yeah, it's a good point. That's how you could continue to build out the sheet of Ben Yosef. And now let's turn our attention. Let's turn our attention to the halacha l'maisa. And again, as I said before, b'chada machta, turn our attention to halacha l'maisa and to appreciate the sugya, mirtz Hashem, much more deeply. So the tour, along the lines of the Rambam and the Rosh says that there's a din of Ikar and Tefillah. You don't have the first couple of words of the Torah in front of you in the copies, so I'll read it, and then very quickly you'll be able to pick up what you have in front of you. Reish Beis, kol shu ikar, v'imo tefela, mevarach ala ikar, poset tefela. If you're eating an ikar with a tafel, You eat an ikker and there's also a tafel. You make a bracha on the ikker and you pater the tafel. Lo, so far, no surprises. Lo mi baya mi ikker mu'urav in my tafel. Not only a case where it's mu'urav, but even kol echad levad, or even a tafel she'en a mu'urav. She'eno me'urav means it's not mixed. Tarovis is a mixture. So not only when the all the different ingredients are mixed together, you have two things separate. And he says, what's an example of a tafel she'eno me'urav? Like the Rambam, he says, a few pas. Shuchashu mikol, even if it's bread, which is a super chashav food in the world of brachas. Imhu, tafel. Bread is super chashav, not only that it gets its own unique bracha, but that, as we've been seeing, normally bread never loses. Normally, grain, you always make mizamas hamotzi, but if it's truly a tafel, and the tafel could go, and here you have it in front of you, ochel dag maliach, the ochel pasi, you have the salty fish, and you're eating the bread with it, shalo yazikena begrono, so that the salty fish won't irritate your throat, bevarach ha-dag upoter ha-pas kevin shu tafel. So if you had the first page of the Besos of the Torah, which is not copied in your packet, so you would see that he gives Ma'ar Mekaymus. He says, Mevarach Ha'ikar Posach, Tfilat Besos, it says, Mishnah, Memdala Medalef. Good. That we know. And then he says, it's also a Gemara, Mem Alpha Medalef. Tzanon Vizayis, Givaldik. And he points out also, the Rush makes a similar point in terms of Devarim Haba'a Machmas HaSa'uda. Foods that you're having in the middle of the meal. Meaning, the Rosh is saying, Daf Membeis, as I mentioned when we got started. Membeis, the fact that bread covers the things in the meal, is also perhaps a type of Iker and Tafel, which is an interesting way to think about it. That to think of the fact that once you wash on bread, you don't make separate brachas on the other items in the meal. That's also the Rosh seems saying. That's another example of everything is Tafel to the bread. Okay. Then he quotes several Rishonim who expand on the Sugya. We're going to focus in particular on this Trumas Hadeshen that he quotes. Kasev the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was a German Rishon in the 1400s, at the very end of the period of Rishonim, not long before the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Supposedly, first a statistical fact, I don't know what the term would be, but the percentage of his tshuvas that make it into Beis Yosef, Darkei Moshe, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah is astoundingly high. I think the vast majority of his tshuvas make it onto the page of the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. His conversion rate, whatever the term is incredibly high. Almost everything he writes hits transcription, not exactly transcription, but that it gets converted to Halacha Maisa, incredibly high. I think the Shach writes in one place, Shach was one of the Nosa Kemensar Shulchan Aruch, the 1600s, I think he writes that there was a tradition that the Trumas Hadeshen, usually Tshuva Svarim are, people send the rabbi child, nowadays you call, or text, or WhatsApp, once upon a time you wrote a letter, so, and the rabbi would think about the child and write a letter back, and that's what Shilas and Tshuvas are, the questions that you got and the answers that you gave. Supposedly, the Trumas Hadeshen faked it. Meaning, he thought about what would be interesting Shilas and wrote about them, even if no one had actually asked him. Which might be part of why he was talking about all the important issues. And we had a lot of interesting things to say about them. So that may be part of why his... I mean, just to be clear, the Shilas may not have been asked to him, but the cases are real cases, and the Tshuvas he was given, obviously, were real Tshuvas. So what does he say? Harotza lishtos yayin, and I gave you in the Ma'am Kamas pack if you want to see the actual Trumas Hadeshen inside. You can follow along if you'd like in the Beis Yosef, who gives you a praesis, a somewhat abbreviated version of the Trumas Hadeshen. So what is Trumas Hadeshen, right? Harotza lishtos yayin, fellow wants to have a glass of wine. V'kosha lishtos aliba reikna, but it's difficult for him to drink wine on an empty stomach, literally an empty heart. An empty stomach. Maybe he has indigestion or whatever it is, or he's worried about the impact of the alcohol. So he's going to eat something. It sounds, though, that it might not just be a question of empty stomach. They talk about being mamtik the shtia. It sounds as though maybe it's meant to like prepare the palate for the taste of the wine. Not sure. But in any case, you're going to eat something in advance of drinking the wine. So what should the din be? So this is fascinating. L'chorein tzarech levarach al ha-maychol me'achashu hu tfeil al-yayim. It's a tafel. I'm just, it's like he says, it's kahidat snon v'zayis. You had a sharp radish, and then you had some olives. You had schug, then you had some pita, just to sort of, you know, calm your tongue down. So whatever you're eating, the side part is just a side part. You don't make a bracha on the bread once you made a bracha on the schug. It's the same thing here. I'm drinking wine, but in order for it to be comfortable, in order for it not to give me a stomachache, I'm going to eat something first, right? Or they told me, you know, if you're going to drink wine empty stomach, it's going to go to your head, even a small amount, alcohol is going to hit your head rapidly and hard. So you better not have. So okay, she says, okay, I'll have a glass of water first. I'll have something. I'll have a glass of orange juice first before I have the wine. So the orange juice is mamash a tuffle to the wine. So what bracha should you make on the orange juice?
Nothing.
It's tuffle. Yeah.
What about if you eat sick of
pills? Don't. Good. More cases. Let's hold off on for now. So he says, well, l'chaim should be nothing. That'd be interesting. So I'm gonna have a glass of oranges. I'm gonna have some berries. I'll have some strawberries, and then I'll have a glass of wine. So often you should say, you make a baruch piagef on the wine, and what do you make in the strawberries? Nothing. Tuffel. Right? But then he says, on the other hand, what's unique about the zikr and tuffel case? Tuffel's first. The tuffel hakodim. And having the tuffel chronologically in time before I have the ikr, and why does that matter? Well, I haven't said the bracha yet. So usually, right, I make the hadama on the pepper, and then afterwards I have a piece of bread. So the bread, I'm eating the bread after. That's obviously a critical idea in the Tal Perek, is that bracha Rishon is supposed to be said before you eat. You eat after you make the bracha. The problem is I'm only going to make the baruch piagef, I guess, in a minute from now when I'm holding the glass of wine. But first I'm going to eat this or drink this prelude. So I haven't yet made the baruch piagef. So now what? So in theory, there are four possible answers to that shiloh. We're going to see halacha l'maisa post can give two or three of them as options of halacha. Four possible answers to what do you do with your prelude. Let's take a look. Yesh l'chalik b'neim, the last wide line, the hasamai ikar nechal kodem. Usually, all the other cases, you eat the ikar first. Then you make a bracha on it. So now the tafel is butter. But our case, nidon is what is being adjudicated, the case that we're being done on. Didan is Aramaic for shalanu. But nidon didan, in our case, hatafel nechal kodem. You're eating the tafel before the ikr. How could it be? Now I'm first going to have a glass of orange juice with no bracha, and then subsequently I'm going to make a baruch piagefen, drink wine. You tell me that baruch piagefen also covered l'mafre, retroactively, it also bounced, ricocheted back to cover the orange juice. How is that possible? Terrible. You drank orange juice without a bracha. Mal. Brachas lemon, ham, and olive. That's untenable. So that's the Trumas HaDeshen's initial reaction. He says, I was thinking about this, and I thought, how could it be? And then he says, I found a fascinating Or Zarua. Marach Or Zarua is one of the earliest German Rishon. I think if I remember correctly, he was a Talmud of the Rebbeinu Tam. Maybe he was even earlier than that. One of the early German Rishon. So the Trumas HaDeshen here, he's in the 1400s, he's reaching back like two, three centuries at least. To earlier German Rishonim. It talks about, I would love to know what these are. I did a little bit of searching. I did not find it, but if you want to do some more searching. Figuring out food names in medieval Hebrew is sometimes a little bit of a challenge. So here's an example. Zerua talks about the following. Ochla osam sha'ochlim garine good gedanios. Those who eat good gedanios pits, good gedanios seeds. Good gedanios must be some sort of fruit. Not exactly sure what. Good gedanios. Oh. So people who eat good gedanios seeds, garinim or seeds, kedei lemate kashtia, in order to literally, it's the same language you use to sweeten the drink. you prepare your mouth in advance of drinking whatever you're going to drink by having these berries, these fruit seeds. Don't make a ha'etz on those fruit seeds, the way you would make on any other fruit seeds. Sidebar, if you actually look in the Or Zarua, the Marach Or Zarua, the original Tshuva he's quoting, he begins with that. He says, there is some debate amongst we showed him, what bracha do you make on fruit seeds? If you're eating...
Well, they came from the...
Right. So often you should say you should make ha'etz. But then some say, this is coming attractions, some say, maybe you only make ha'etz on the main part of the fruit. Right, exactly. That's a great example. Orange zest. Right, orange zest. If when you, sometimes certain high-end recipes, they want you to get some of the, you shave off some of the peel, it gives you a, it's very zesty. So do you make, that's part of the fruit. But it's not the main part of the fruit. So do you make ha'etz on the whole thing? Or you only make ha'etz on the flesh, the fruit that you usually eat? And if for some reason you're eating the zest, maybe that's hadama shahako. Okay. So there is some debate about that. That takes us to the world of Chelkei Pri, not our focus right now. So but he says, that's how he opens. He says, normally when you eat these good gedanios seeds, okay, someone could research that this afternoon, it's good gedanios seeds. So normally, he says, we paskin, you do make ha'etz on fruit seeds. Obviously, seeds are meant to be eaten, not if you eat a peach pit, you're going to need medical care. And there's no brach on that. But if you're eating seeds that are normal to eat, So everyone eats kiwi seeds. Okay, that's just part of the fruit. So he says, yeah, if it's a seed that's normal to eat, so then you make a ha'etz. But that's if your stomach is sitting there and eating the seeds. But if you're eating the seeds as a prelude to the wine you're about to drink, you're preparing your palate for the apple cider you're about to drink. I don't know. Our guy's about to have... So then, what do you do? Don't make ha'etz. Why? Don't make ha'etz in the fruit because it's merely a tafel to the wine. So what should you do instead? She says, mevarech aleim shahakol. Make a shahakol on them. Hol ovein boy raklam atei kashtia. Because they're only coming to sweeten the subsequent drink. To set up your palate for the subsequent drink, therefore you make a shahakal. So what do you mean a shahakal? What do you mean a shahakal? So why shahakal? I understand. The fruit is a ha'etz. So where did shahakal come from? So let's think about that. So he says, but that's the end of the Truman Sadeshan according to Arz Ruah. Now we hear Truman Sadeshan once again. Mehacha mashma, debinir de danami. Same in our case. The guy's eating or drinking something before he has his glass of wine. Mivarech al hamachal shehakol. A feeling birchoso beinyan acher. Make a shehakol on you're going to have an apple. You're going to have an apple before you drink your wine. Make if you only have the apple so that you can drink the wine. Make a shehakol on your apple. Why make a shehakol on your apple? What's that all about? So he says, Eino pater lagamre. It's not totally pater. Machmas birkas hashtia. Shehu Iker. Now, Sarach lechalek ben ahid etznon v'zayis k'mo shechilakti. We have to differentiate this case of the apple that precedes the wine from the case of the olive that follows the sharp radish, as I did. The chilek is, does it come first, does it come second? So what just happened? Where does the shahakal come from? Where does the shahakal come from? Well, what's he saying?
Yeah. The degradation of the
ha'etz.
The degradation of the ha'etz.
It's
like when you squish the orange,
you get orange juice. Yeah. Like we mentioned that you lose the purit, but it's still, it's just being modified. Right, there's some other case we had. It's not a complete tapa. Okay, hold on to that thought for a moment. On the one hand, on the other hand, like we've seen other cases where you lose your full period bebrachas, but there are two layers to takana of brachas, There's the added mitzvah of making brachas in a beautiful, personalized way. But then the most basic level, bimata, the iser of lehanas al mazeh b'la bracha. So let's say we saw, some Rishonim understood that all drinks are like that. You just make a shakos, you have to bimata the iser. We had seen the Rambam maybe was saying that by the Azuki Mazik. And there are several other cases. And here is one of them that it loses its bracha mefuretis because it's tafel to the other thing. But lamaisa, it's usher to eat it. You can't be nene from anything without a bracha. So, make a shahaka. So far we have two, l'chora, two conceptual possibilities. When you have a tafel that comes before the ikker, one option was, don't make any bracha. But on the other hand, because it's tafel. By the other hand, what do you mean? But usher lehonos. So another option is make a shahakal. Make shahakal. Right? Make shahakal on the apple, and then make a bar pregefen on the wine. Because since it's a tafel, it loses its unique high-level bracha, but it's still, you still have the basic din. Anything is asher lehonos below bracha, but for that shahakal suffices. Then the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe duke it up. Beis Yosef had quoted the Shurim Sadeshin, who had quoted the Marach HaZeruah, and Beis Yosef says, I disagree with the Shurim Sadeshin, and the Ramah on the bottom, the Darkei Moshe, defends the Ashkenazi Rishonim. The Beis Yosef says, I disagree, let's see. I know there are hands, but let's just see the Beis Yosef first, we'll see if time after some questions. Lefima Shekazra Abeinu Besof Simen Rish Yud. B'shvil Chesron Ashir L'Shayach B'Bracha Acheres HaChanami. What's he saying? He's saying, look, back in Simon Reish Yud, there was another possible mysterious shahakal. Just like if you have less than a kazayas of food, you don't make any bracha acharona, there were Rishonim back in Simon Reish Yud, including the Rabbeinu Yonah, who had said, if you have less than a kazayas, you don't make the bracha mufaretes. You have a little teeny tiny piece of apple, make a shahakal. The logic is the same. It's not really a full achila, it's pachas mikashir. So don't make a regular bracha, but make a shahakal. And he said, look, we don't pass, the Torah didn't pass in that way. We don't pass in that way. You have a teeny tiny piece of apple. There's no burning of ushers, but there is ha'eitz. So don't you see this whole shahakal business doesn't work. Make the regular ha'eitz on your apple before you drink the wine. And the Darkei Moshe says, what didn't you understand? You're eating an apple, so it's a hay, it's a big piece, a little piece. Okay, it's not full ma'isachila, but still apple. Masha'enu came here. No, it lost its bracha because it's a tafel. It really shouldn't have any bracha. Now, we're going to pause there for now, and we're going to pick up, we're going to wrap this amritsham tomorrow with two questions. Number one, we need to dig some more into what Darkei Moshe is saying. What do you mean? No bracha. There's no bracha, but there is a bracha, there's shahakal. He's saying something profound about how ikar and tafel works. That's the other thing to think about. What's driving? So far we had three possibilities. Either you don't make any bracha on the tafel akodim, or you make a shahakal on tafel akodim, or you make the regular bracha of that food where the tafel akodim is. There is a fourth possibility also. What is that fourth possibility? And what's driving saying one way or the other? I would suggest it probably has to do with how you understand Ikar and Tafel. This is a beautiful nafkamina that we're going to more fully, Mirtz Hashem, unpack and complete tomorrow.